So I'll just read it, and we can talk about it for a second. 23. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that when you come together, it will not be for judgment. About the other things, I will give direction to. And I wanted to read that because if there aren't at least a couple sentences in there that are really strange to you, then you know a lot more than I do. And I've wrestled with that too, because it's like I wanted to find a passage to read for communion, and it's like, oh man, reading about getting sick and dying. I'm not really sure. I mean, is that like a worshipful passage? I don't know, but it is the Bible. And And so I thought about that, and I think it does need a little more explanation and some thought. And actually, as I look at this, I think it's a good word for us, not so much that we need to be afraid of death and illness, but just what Paul's heart is here. And really what he's dealing with is not so much that people are not thinking about Jesus. And, you know, when I think about taking communion, at least when I grew up, it was a lot of just reflection on my own sin and forgiveness. And that's absolutely one of the most powerful things about this memorial that we do in Jesus' name. But when he talks about discerning the body and the blood, discerning the body, he's talking about the community. And I think one of the powerful things here is just the encouragement for us to use this evening just to pay attention to one another, know where we are, know how people are feeling, minister to one another in a meaningful way, and reach beyond just sort of the social constructs of high and by, but really use this opportunity to remind us that we are together, that we are we got each other's backs, and that we're looking out for each other. And I think that's a powerful thought. And that was something they were forgetting at this time. And they were starting to look to their own interests and their own desires and forgetting that this memorial in Jesus is a reminder that we are here for one another and that we take care of one another. And when he instituted the Lord's Supper, he put on a towel and got on his knees and washed people's feet. And so it's a posture of just serving one another. And I think that's just a really good reminder before we take this together, is that, you know, we're here for each other and we've got each other's backs and we want to pray for one another and we want to be brothers and sisters who love one another and serve one another. So I thought that was just a good reminder. And as for the getting sick and dying, I just think it's an exclamation point on that. Man, we should be looking out for each other. So, that's the best I could come up with. So I would like to just give you some practical instructions on how we're going to do this, and then I'll read another passage and pray, and then we'll start. And I know you've all probably done this in like so many different ways, and so tonight we're just going to do it this way because we're in this small room, and because I think it could be really neat. Feel free to take a little bit of liberty with whatever you're comfortable with. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pass this around, and you guys can serve your own families, serve your children, and then serve the person beside you, and then we'll just kind of pass the basket around. And we're set up for the dipping method tonight, so if you're familiar with the dipping method, you can dip the bread. And,
we're dipping, not sipping.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're welcome to sip, I guess, but everyone's watching. So we're in a circle. They'll see. So if you can hold the basket. And I also know that spilling is, not a good idea. So if you want to help each other a lot, hold the basket while people dip, and that would be great. And you can just tear off a piece as we pass it around. Kiddos are welcome to take that. I mean, parents, you guys can decide how you want to do that. And so you can serve your own kids however you like, or even just pray for them if you decide that's not something they need to do. So, and then as it goes around, we could be praying for one another. There's a lot of different postures we could take. As we just watch it pass around, I would like for that time to be an opportunity for us to see us serving one another, and let that be just a reflection on the humility and sacrifice of being a community. And we could pray for one another as it goes around, or you could pray with your family, or you could, contemplate and reflect on the beauty of forgiveness or whatever. So, does that make sense? Everyone understand how we're going to pass this around? Awesome. All right, well, I'm just going to read a passage of Scripture. Oh, actually, I was going to write down a couple of phrases. As you serve one another, I know you guys have probably tried some different things, but this might be helpful. As we serve the bread, you can say the bread of heaven. Body of Christ, the bread of heaven. You don't have to use these words, but I know some people, I don't know what to say, so I actually had to read some liturgy about this. So, and then when you serve the grape juice, the blood of Christ, the cup of salvation. Of course, you can say whatever you want, but this is available to you. So, I'll pray and then we'll kick this off. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the body and blood of Christ. We thank you for the sacrifice, for you becoming flesh and blood, for your incarnation, for becoming a human being, fully God and fully man. Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ being a model of humanity. We thank you for his death, the atoning sacrifice. We thank you for the hopeful resurrection. Father, we thank you for this institution, this memorial. And God, we just pray that this will be a time where the past and the future swirl together. God, the truth of Christ's death, the forgiveness of sins, and God, the promised future when we will drink wine again at the table with Jesus Christ himself, and that huge banqueting table in God's kingdom. God, that is such an exciting future that you have for us. And we pray that all of those truths will come together in this moment as we long to be the community you call us to be. We pray that this act of worship will bind us together in who Christ is and who he makes us. In Jesus' name. Now, as they were eating, Jesus took the bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many, for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." So for coming next, we're going to sing one more song. I think this is when we're going to dismiss. After when we start the song, so we can take the kiddos over. And after that, I just want to give a few more instructions for that. We're going to read the entire letter to the Colossians together, which I hope will be a blessing and just another extension of our time of worship together. And I love reading the letter together in its entirety, because it's probably how they would have heard it when they were probably gathered in a small space and after they've taken, the Lord's Supper, they probably would listen to a letter that was written to them by the Apostle Paul. And so I think it's just a really cool way for us to continue our worship. And so as we read, and I've given it to some folks, and, you know, we'll kind of read it as we go through. Just try to hear it with fresh ears and hear it in the context of, one of the earliest pastors pastoring his church. And I think it could be a full time of worship. So anyways, we'll sing one more song and we can dismiss it. Yeah, special assignment by Christ as part of God's master plan. Together with my friend Timothy, I greet the Christians and stalwarts of Christ who live in Colossae. May everything good from God our Father be yours. Our prayers for you are always spilling over into thanksgivings. We can't quit thanking God our Father and Jesus our Messiah for you. We keep getting reports on your steady faith in Christ, our Jesus, and the love you continuously extend to all Christians. The lines of purpose in your lives never grow slack, tightly tied as they are to your future in heaven, kept taut by God. The message is true among you today as when you first heard it. It doesn't diminish or weaken over time. It's the same all over the world. The message bears fruit and gets larger and stronger, just as it has in you. From the very first day you heard and recognized the truth of what God is doing, you've been hungry for more. It's as vigorous in you now as it when you learned it from our friend and close associate, Epaphras. He is one reliable worker for Christ. I could always depend on him. He is the one who told us how thoroughly love had been worked into your lives by the Spirit. Be assured that from the very first day we heard of you, we haven't stopped praying for you, asking God to give you wise minds and spirits attuned to his will, and so acquire thorough understanding of the ways in which God works. We pray that you'll live well for the Master, making him proud of you as you work hard in his orchard. As you learn more and more how God works, you will learn how to do your work. We pray that you'll have the strength to stick it out over the long haul. Not the grim strength of gritting your teeth, but the glory strength God gives. It is strength that endures the unendurable and spills over into joy, thanking the Father who makes us strong enough to take part in everything bright and beautiful that he has for us. God rescued us from the dead-end alleys and dark dungeons. He set us up in the kingdom of the Son he loves so much, the Son who got us out of the pit we were in, got rid of the sins we were doomed to keep repeating. We look at this Son and see the God who cannot be seen. We look at this Son and see God's original purpose in everything created. For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank after rank of angels, everything got started in Him and finds its purpose in Him. He was there before any of it came into existence and holds it all together right up to this moment. When it comes to the church, he organizes and holds it together like a head does a body. He was supreme in the beginning, and leading the resurrection parade, he is supreme in the end. From the beginning to end, he's there, towering far above everything, everyone. So spacious is he, so roomy, that everything of God finds its proper place in him without crowding. Not only that, but all the broken and dislocated pieces of the universe, people and things, animals and atoms, get properly fixed and fit together in vibrant harmonies, all because of his death, his blood that poured down from the cross. You yourselves are a case study what he does. One time, you all had your backs turned to God, thinking rebellious thoughts of him, giving him trouble every chance you got. But now, by giving himself completely at the cross, actually dying for you, Christ brought you over to God's side and put your lives together, whole and holy in his presence. You don't walk away from a gift like that. You stay grounded and steady in that bond of trust, constantly tuned in to the message, careful not to be distracted or diverted. There is no other message, just this one. Every creature under heaven gets the same message. I, Paul, am a messenger of this message. I want you to know how glad I am that it's me sitting here in this jail, not you. There's a lot of suffering to be entered into in this world, the kind of suffering Christ takes on. I welcome the chance to take my share in the church's part of that suffering. When I became a servant of this church, I experienced the suffering as a sheer gift, God's way of helping me serve you, laying out the whole truth. This mystery has been kept in the dark for a long time. But now, it's out in the open. God wanted everyone, not just Jews, to know this rich and glorious secret inside and out, regardless of their background, regardless of their religious standing. The mystery in a nutshell is just this. Christ is in you. So therefore, you can look forward to sharing in God's glory. It's that simple. That is the substance of our message. We preach Christ, warning people not to add to the message. We teach in a spirit of profound common sense so that we can bring each person to maturity. To be mature is to be basic. Christ, no more, no less. That's what I'm working so hard at, day after day, year after year, doing my best with the energy of God, which God so generously gives me.
I want you to realize that I continue to work as hard as I know how for you, and also for the Christians over at Laodicea. Not many of you have met me face to face, but that doesn't make any difference. Know that I'm on your side, right alongside you. You're not in this alone. I want you woven into a tapestry of love, in touch with everything there is to know of God. Then you will have minds competent and at rest, focused on Christ, God's great mystery. All the richest treasures of wisdom and knowledge are embedded in that mystery and nowhere else. And we've been shown the mystery. I'm telling you this because I don't want anyone leading you off on some wild goose chase after other so-called mysteries or the secret. I'm a long way off, true, and you may never lay eyes on me, but believe me, I'm on your side, right beside you. I'm delighted to hear of your careful and orderly ways you conduct your affairs, and impressed with the solid substance of your faith in Christ. My counsel for you is simple and straightforward. Just go ahead with what you've been given. You receive Christ Jesus, the Master. Now live him. You're deeply rooted in him. You're well constructed upon him. You know your way around the faith. Now do what you've been taught. School's out. Quit studying the subject and start living it. And let your living spill over into thanksgiving. Watch out for people who try to dazzle you with big words and intellectual double talk. They want to drag you off into endless arguments that never amount to anything. They spread their ideas through the empty transitions of human beings and empty superstitions of spirit beings. But that's not the way of Christ. Everything of God gets expressed in him, so you can see and hear him clearly. You don't need a telescope or a microscope or a horoscope to realize the fullness of Christ and the emptiness of the universe without him. When you come to him, that fullness comes together for you too. His power extends over everything. Entering into this fullness is not something you figure out or achieve. It's not a matter of being circumcised or keeping a long list of laws. No, you're already in, insiders, not through some secretive initiative, right, but rather through what Christ has already gone through for you, destroying the power of sin. If it's an initiation ritual you're after, you've already been through it by submitting to baptism. Going under the water was a burial of your old life. Coming up out of it was a resurrection, God raising you from the dead as he did Christ. When you were stuck in your old life, in your old sin dead life, you were incapable of responding to God. God brought you alive right along with Christ. Think of it. All sins forgiven. The slate wiped clean. That old arrest warrant canceled and nailed to Christ's cross. He stripped all the spiritual tyrants in the universe of their sham authority at the cross and marched them naked through the streets. So don't put up with anyone pressuring you in details of diet, worship services, or holy days. All those things are mere shadows cast before what was to come. The substance is Christ. Don't tolerate people who try to run your life, ordering you to bow and scrape, insisting that you join their obsession with angels and that you seek out visions. They're a lot of hot air. That's all they are. They're completely out of touch with the source of life, Christ, who puts us together in one piece, whose very breath and blood flow through us. He is the head, and we are the body. We can grow up healthy in God only as he nourishes us. So then, if with Christ you've put all that pretentious and infantile religion behind you, why do you let yourselves be bullied by it? Don't touch this, don't taste that, don't go near this. Do you think things that are here today and gone tomorrow are worth that kind of attention? Such things sound impressive if in a deep enough voice. They even give the illusion of being pious and humble and ascetic, but they're just another way of showing off, making yourselves look important.
So, if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from his perspective. Your old life is dead. Your new life, which is your real life, even though invisible to spectators, is with Christ and God. He is your real life. When Christ, your real life, remember, shows up again on this earth, you'll show up too. The real you, the glorious you. Meanwhile, be content with obscurity, like Christ. And that means killing off everything connected with that way of death. Sexual promiscuity, impurity, lust, doing whatever you feel like whenever you feel like it, and grabbing whatever attracts your fancy. That's a life shaped by things and feelings instead of by God. It's because of this kind of thing that God is about to explode in anger. It wasn't long ago that you were doing all that stuff and not knowing any better. But you know better now, so make sure it's all gone for good. Bad temper, irritability, meanness, profanity, dirty talk. Don't lie to one another. You're done with that old life. It's like a filthy set of ill-fitting clothes you've stripped off and put in the fire. Now you're dressed in a new wardrobe. Every item of your new way of life is custom made by the Creator with His label on it. All the old fashions are now obsolete. Words like Jewish and non-Jewish, religious and irreligious, insider and outsider, uncivilized and uncouth, slave and free mean nothing. From now on, everyone is defined by Christ. Everyone is included in Christ. So, chosen by God for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline. Be even-tempered, content with second place, quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic, all-purpose garment. Never be without it. Let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other and step with each other. None of this going off and doing your own thing, and cultivate thankfulness. Let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of the house. Give it plenty of room in your lives. Instruct and direct one another using good common sense. And sing. Sing your hearts out to God. Let every detail in your lives, words, actions, whatever, be done in the name of the Master Jesus, thanking God the Father every step of the way. Wives, understand and support your husbands by submitting to them in ways that honor the Master. Husbands, go all out in love for your wives. Don't take advantage of them. Children, do what your parents tell you. This delights the Master no end. Parents, don't come down too hard on your children or you'll crush their spirits. Servants, do what you're told by your earthly masters. And don't just do the minimum that you will get by. Do your best. Work from the heart for your real master, for God, confident that you'll get paid in full when you come into your inheritance. Keep in mind always that the ultimate master you're serving is Christ. The sullen servant who does shoddy work will be held responsible. Being a follower of Jesus doesn't cover up bad work.
And masters, treat your servants considerately. Be fair with them. Don't forget for a minute that you too serve a master, God in heaven. Pray diligently. Stay alert with your eyes wide open in gratitude. Don't forget to pray for us, that God will open doors for telling the mystery of Christ, even while I am locked up in jail. Pray that every time I open my mouth, I'll be able to make Christ plain as day to them. Use your heads as you live and work among outsiders. Don't miss a trick. Make the most of every opportunity. Be gracious in your speech. The goal is to bring out the best in others in conversation, not put them down, not cut them out. A good friend, Tychicus, will tell you all about me. He's a trusted minister and companion in the service of the Master. I've sent him to you so that you would know how things are with us, so that he could encourage you in your faith. And I've sent Onesimus with him. Onesimus is one of you and has become such a trusted and dear brother. Together they'll bring you up to date on everything that has been going on here. Aristarchus, who is in jail here with me, sends greetings. Also Mark, cousin of Barnabas. You received a letter regarding him. If he shows up, welcome him. And also Jesus, the one they call Justice. These are the only ones left from the old crowd who have stuck with me in working for God's kingdom. Don't think they haven't been a big help. Epaphras, who is one of you, says hello. What a trooper he has been. He's been tireless in his prayers for you, praying that you'll stand firm, mature, and confident in everything God wants you to do. I've watched him closely, and you can report on how hard he has worked for you and for those in Odysseia and Hierapolis. Luke, good friend and physician, and Demas both send greetings. Say hello to our friends in Laodicea, also in Nympha in the church that meets in her house. After this letter has been read to you, make sure it gets read also in Laodicea, and get the letter that went to Laodicea and have it read to you. Oh, and yes, tell Archippus, do your best in the job you received from the Master. Do your very best. I'm signing off in my own handwriting. Paul, remember to pray for me in this jail. Grace be with you.
So in just a few minutes, David's going to be sharing, kind of continuing the conversation from last time and filling some gaps and giving us further direction. And then after that, I think we'll have some time to pray together. But I don't know. I think it might be fun if we just took also a little bit of time to respond to the letter to Colossians, if there was anything that spoke to you. And if not, that's okay. I'm sure David's ready to go. But if there was anything that, I don't know, particularly ministered to you or spoke to you or felt fresh, even though you might have been familiar with it.
I like how it said, do your very best, not just the minimum required. Go all out. Just go for it. It's a good reminder.
I think it's encouraging. I mean, just the part where he's talking about how, focus on Christ. Don't worry about all these other, things. Don't listen to people just talking in big words and trying to get you to, really into angels and, that stuff, has always been happening at the beginning when the church first started, and I'm sure all throughout and now, people are always trying to get you, this is the way to really be into Christ, or, you should be doing this, you're not doing this, or you don't know this stuff, and what really matters is who we are in Christ. And I can't remember what you said, but something about the basics, I thought that it's just interesting reading that as the first church, and then just thousands of years later, still dealing with the same stuff.
A good line in there. Well, it was kind of funny, but I liked it. It said, you don't need a telescope, a microscope, or a horoscope to realize the fullness of Christ and emptiness of the universe without Him. Well, that was pretty cool.
I got thrown off.
We just thought Colossians would be a good one to read, especially when we were taking communion, just because, the whole theme is just about the centrality of Jesus, and at this time for me, it stood out just the way he also. You just knew that they were taking the Lord's Supper together often, and the way that he even echoes some of the words that we read from Corinthians about the blood of Christ, and just how how important it is for us to remember who Christ is and who we are in Christ. I really like the part, and this is the message, just the way he words it, of now I gotta find it. The mystery in a nutshell is this: Christ is in you. And just that thought of and he goes on about it later, about having this new clothing and the old self gone, but just the idea of Christ being in me and that being my identity is a scary but also hugely comforting thought. And just being someone who wrestles with insecurity, it's so nice to know that it's Christ that's in me. That's the mystery, and that's the hope and the exciting things. So.
I think for me, the thing that probably learning more as you're married and going through like hardships, like you convince yourself that you might be better off single. Like, if I was single, man, like, I may be opening up a can of worms. I mean, that's what the world thinks. If only I can escape God, then my life is rich. You know, if only I can escape God, then this is true beauty. This is where I really find myself as an individual. And I think as you're married, you come to a life to where, you know, there's that constant presence of somebody else who is calling you to die to yourself. And you want to live for yourself. And so it's just this mirror of my wife, of my bride, of Hannah, just calling me, Leland, die to yourself, die to yourself, die to yourself, and how much I just want to live for myself. And so just hearing even the message, you know, just even, you know, just the words of Christ is saying that we should die to ourselves. It's better to be second. It's better for me to give up and love Hannah in an extravagant way and not care about my own needs. And I think that's a really hard message. But it's encouraging to hear that, to know that Christ enables me to be able to fully, like, pursue Him and to sacrificially, like, give up my life so that I can love someone else. And my wife's amazing, by the way.
Beginning, and I don't have the message sitting in front of me, but basically it was like maturity is this, and then it was in like the very, it's like Jesus, and then it goes on to like give this long list of things you should do, but not before it like reminds you that everything's about Jesus, your identity is in Jesus. And I think like a lot of times when you're like, oh, I just want to be a mature Christian, and then you think of like all the different things that list at the end of the letter, like do this, be gentle, do this, and easy to get like this long list of things and it feels like really burdensome. But he starts out with being like, it's all about Jesus, like your identity is in Jesus, he rescued you, now do these things. And like the order of the letter is just like, my identity is in Christ, maturity is about being his and what he's actually done for me, and then because of who he's made me, I do these things. And so it's just good to remember that good to work for those things, but to be mature is actually just about having Jesus.
Thanks, guys, for all right, so, yeah, David's going to share a bit, and yeah, I might, is there, if I just, or actually, would someone like to pray to end that time and,
Jesus, I thank you that you're bigger than all of our fears, all of our insecurities, all of the uncertainties, and all of the unknowns. Lord, I pray that you help us to rest in that, to embrace that, to challenge ourselves to grow more and more in resting in who you are and who you've made us to be, Lord. I pray that you continue to just guide us as we go forward. Speak through David now and help us to have ears and hearts to hear what you have for us today. In your son's name.